Hello and welcome to See Nobody Cares, the podcast where we talk about whatever we want because there's nobody listening anyway. Tonight is episode number 26. I am your host, Ollie Schaus. With me, as always, my co-host, the man whose body was built on bacon and cheese, Ballgame. How you doing, Ballgame?
I am great. I can't believe we're at episode 26.
I know, our podcast is old enough to rent a car.
We're older than most foosball tables. I just can't believe it. It's crazy. But I am also tonight extremely excited because we've got another special guest. So ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome to the stage the gorgeous George Porto. What's going on, George?
How are we doing, everybody?
Great.
George, where are you coming to us from right now?
I am at home in Wheeling, Illinois, which is a suburb right outside of Chicago, about 20-25 minutes.
Okay.
I feel like everywhere in Illinois is a suburb of Chicago.
But I feel like I'm in the most perfect suburb because I'm a half hour away from everything. The airport, the city, the far west suburbs, the far north suburbs, everything's a half hour or less.
Now, I know we're not to the random questions portion of this, but I just have a quick question. As a Chicago guy, is Detroit pizza a thing?
I enjoy it.
Put in hot.
I enjoy it. Listen, I like deep dish. I'm not in love with deep dish, but I dabble in all, I should say, all types of pizza. Detroit even has some pizzas out here that are really good, and I will get them every once in a while.
All right, George, so for our listeners, if they're visiting Chicago, where is the quintessential Chicago deep dish spot you would send them to?
And I'll get pooped on for this, but 90% of people want me to say Illuminati's. I do not like Lou's. I do like Giordano's. I like Pequod's. And then we have a million different Rosati's out here. I'm not a big fan of chunks of tomatoes all over my pizza, and that's what Illuminati's does. So I honestly have it take a back seat. I do love their thin crust, but the thick deep dish, I just can't do.
We literally have half of what you just mentioned here in the Phoenix area. Like I have a Illuminati's like 20 minutes from here, and it's absolute trash.
I agree.
No one eats there. There's Rosati's actually down in Tucson, and I kept trying to figure out why my brother-in-law's family, who are from Chicago, would drive across town and go get this food. Oh my gosh, you got to have Rosati's. And it's freaking amazing.
And it's almost different everywhere. I have one by me that I frequent quite a bit, but if I go to one that's two towns over, it's not the same. You just got to find the right ones. But I think I've nailed it down to a science. So we're good there.
Awesome. We are going to return to pizza later in the podcast. Everybody knows what's coming later. So I'm excited to get your take on that, George. But there's something else I do want to talk about because, you know, we just passed Mother's Day. And now, you know, in a few short weeks, it's going to be Father's Day. And I've got two pretty amazing fathers here with me. And I'm also a father. And I know we all have wins and losses racked up in the dad column. So, George, you've got three boys, right?
I do.
And what are their ages?
So I've got 11, 8, and 6. My 11-year-old is actually going to be 12 on the 29th of this month. So getting pumped up for that.
So do you just have... Is the 12-year-old, is he able just to take care of the other two? Is that how it works?
Oh, God. I wish it was that easy. I honestly, if I don't see them and someone doesn't have a bruise, a cut, or scratch, or is crying, then something is wrong if they're all quiet. So can I trust them? No. No.
Words to live by. If something's quiet, if they're all quiet, something is wrong.
Absolutely.
And Ollie, you have two boys and a young lady. Is that correct?
That is correct. So I have a very, prestigious distinction of I became a father on Father's Day.
Wow.
So my daughter, she's 21 And she was born before I met my wife. And we got married on June 20th of 2004, which was a Sunday, which happened to also be Father's Day. So I officially became a father on Father's Day. I also have an 18-year-old son who is Ollie the Fourth, or 4.0, as he's affectionately called. And my youngest, our very special surprise child, Ezra, he's our 13-year-old crazy one. So we've got them all. Now, I got to say, if I got to pick who my dad was, I'd pick Ball Game to be my dad. Because you talk about him, but man, your kid is one lucky kid.
Well, you know, you get to see what I show you, of course. you don't see the behind the scenes, me like banging my head against the wall, trying to get him to like change his socks or clean his room or walk the dogs. But I'm pretty hard on that kid. But I believe in high accountability, hard work, and then rewards as well for your hard work.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about being dads for a moment. What is something, George, that what's a piece of advice somebody gave you that you thought was just so beneficial before you became a dad?
That's a great question. Honestly, I could kind of deflect from that a little bit. I worked in education for 10 years. That's what I went to school for. And working with kids and experiencing everything I got to do with them from ages like kindergarten through sixth grade, even ran a camp called Traveling Teens in a few summers. Working with kids and seeing how everyone is different, how I would see how parents would interact with their kids, whether it was in front of me, whether it was in front of another teacher, whether it was in front of other kids. I took like bits and pieces from everybody, honestly, and kind of applied it to how I raise my kids and how I raise my boys. Now they are spoiled. I'll be the first one to admit that. They are super spoiled, but they, you know, for the most part, they get along. They're doing awesome in school. They aspire to do many big things in life, even at a young age. And I think that just comes from, you know, what I'm instilling, what they're learning from other family members too. So I think it's just growing experiences and being around different people. I mean, they soak up everything at a young age that once they're out there and you see them by themselves, or if they're doing team sports or anything like that, like it rubs off. It rubs off in so many ways.
So you hit on something, and I'm just going to come out and say it. And awesome. Great job being in the world of education for 10 years. I was in the world of education for 15 years, and that's a long grind, buddy. So congrats to you, and thank you for your 10 years of service. Educators make the best parents. And I'm going to go out there on that limb and say that. But it's not for the reasons people think. It's not for the college education that they have. It's not because they're the most patient or they're the most in tune with a child's needs. It's because we have access to so many children and so many parents, and we get to see firsthand how so many parents screw their children up.
Right. I mean, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It really is. And like I'll say, like, oh, I never would do something like that if I saw something or heard something or, you know, God forbid something bad happened. But it's, you know, you never know what situations may arise or may come about. But like, again, like, being around it and surrounded by it, yeah, you take bits and pieces and carry it with you. And even if you were raised a certain way, you're like, maybe I should be doing this a little differently. And I think being around in an education for my early stage in life, which now led to booze.
yeah, that also is true. Educators tend to, you know, shift into different industries and a lot like to drink. So, yeah. You know, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
All right, Ollie, what's one piece of advice you would give a father-to-be? Some sage wisdom from Mr. Schaus that you have earned over the years?
So I have a couple. One of them would be, I recognize that there are different stages of parenthood and particularly fatherhood. The first 12-ish years or so, your job is to keep them alive, right? Keep them clothed, keep them fed, keep them housed, keep them from running into traffic, you know, just keep them alive. That second part is teaching them how to not be an asshole. And I mean that in the most sincere way, like, hey, that's not how you speak to someone, or that is not a proper way to react when someone XYZ, whatever that might be. Hey, the polite thing in this situation is to do this. Hey, let's not always put ourselves first. And I think that is, like, to me, it's been the hardest part. So I'm going into my third round of it with varying levels of success, because we can't all be perfect all the time. But my two oldest ones have come out pretty respectful and thoughtful and kind. And you know what? If at the end of their life, if someone reads those words in their eulogy, I think I did a good job. So the other ones would be, the most sage advice I could give is cherish the moments, but don't hold on to them. You know, a lot of parents like to, you know, they look at pictures, oh, I miss when they were so little, or, oh, I don't want you to grow. Oh, please stop growing. It's like, no. Cherish it while it's there, but also look forward to what's next, right? Like, you had, you know, a kid that was crawling. Oh, he's not crawling anymore. But you know what? He picked up a baseball for the first time, or he swung a bat, or he beat you running for the first time. Like, those are real, you know, I don't know, highlight moments to me. So I would say cherish the moments while you're in them, but always look forward to what's next.
I think you have a best-selling book on your hands, sir.
I think the title should be Don't Be an Asshole.
Right. Don't Be an Asshole by Dr. Ollie Schaus. Don't Raise an Asshole by Dr. Ollie Schaus. But, you know, that actually really resonates, right? There's no greater joy for me as a parent. And my kid is very active. He plays a lot of different sports, has successes and failures. The goals come, the home runs come, the good things come. But what I get the most jazzed up about, fired up about, is when somebody comes up to me and says, your son is such a good teammate. Or, wow, he is such a nice kid. He helped my son with this. Or he invited my son over. He's just so nice. Nothing makes me feel better. I mean, I love to see him succeed in the sports and other things too and get good grades, but, you know, just be a good human being. And, you know, that's becoming harder and harder for kids to do. And so, and it's a battle every day for a lot of parents. And with the iPad generation, if we call them, or the COVID kids now, whatever's going on, there's nothing for me greater than that. So, but I'll be the first in line to buy your book, Ollie.
A writer I am not, but maybe we'll find out.
Well, we can have somebody ghost author it and just put your name on it. I mean, it's pretty simple. Page one, you just laid it out, right? Page one, like, feed them. Page two, yeah. Clothe them. Page three, don't be an asshole.
Maybe we'll get Kate, the Disney Cicerone, back on here to give us a writing lesson.
Oh yeah, she can narrate it too. Her voice is perfect for narrating.
Yeah, I don't know how she'd do for a fatherhood book, but, you know.
It might get more sales.
Actually, isn't it? George has a pretty nice voice, too. Listen to it. I mean, it's
I try to be. I can do that. It depends what kind of mood we're in.
So, George, I also noticed that you and your boys, one of the things you guys like to do together is you guys like to go to wrestling events.
Oh, yeah.
So they're really big into that.
And honestly, it yes, and I'm going to take blame for it. I grew up loving it, watching it, going to so many things. And I think it was during COVID where it was like, all right, we're not outside. We're not doing this. We're trapped inside. What are we going to do? And I flipped it on and they fell in love. I fell back in love because I hadn't watched it in years. And, Yeah. It's become a fun go-to thing. I took my eldest to WrestleMania last year in California. God, was it expensive, but it was such a cool experience. When WrestleMania was here in Chicago back, I forget what year it was, but it was WrestleMania 13 and I was in eighth grade. I just remember like the moments and now that I like see it in my kids, it's fun. It's awesome. They talk about it constantly. Are they always like talking about it at school with their friends? Not so much my older one anymore, cause he's in middle school and he's like, it's not cool anymore. I go, yeah, right. I see you cheering when we go to events and dancing and high-fiving, like you still love it at heart, but, it's one of those things that's like, it's brought me back. And honestly, I throw it on whenever it's on. I throw it on TV. And I, like I said, I wasn't watching it the last 10, 15 years. But now it's become a part of my regimen and the kids love it and they are obsessed with it. To me, it's like, you know, it's obviously all scripted, but it's like I said, it's like you're watching a movie. It's grown up superheroes is what these guys are. And they're acting it out every week. And it gives them something to talk about, to do, to look at storylines, and they get creative with it too. So it is come like full circle for me, and I absolutely love it.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
We had a similar COVID experience. During COVID, I wasn't watching current wrestling, but I started on the Peacock. I think I was going down all the old pay-per-views, mm-hmm. like from like our youth. So I was watching like WrestleMania 10, and my son walks in. He's like, what the heck is this? What's a Yokozuna? And why is he sitting on people? I'm like, oh, son, come here and sit. Let's, you know, and then we fired up the old PlayStation 3 and got out one of the old wrestling video games.
I'm staring at a PS3 right now. I will not get rid of that thing.
Yeah, so many great games.
I had on the PS2, I had the WWE SmackDown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, to this day, it is the only game I've ever 100% completed. And as a newlywed, it nearly cost me my marriage. Because I have this cool setup, right? I got my apartment. I got my little wife. I got my daughter. I come home from work. My wife makes me dinner. Then I sit on the couch and I just play video games, right? And then I go to bed at midnight. Well, my, you know, newlywed wife was going to bed without me the first 6 months of our marriage. It's like, I don't think I did this right. I think I messed up a little bit. But man, I had a lot of fun playing that game and building characters in it. Miss those days.
It's awesome. Well, and it's really cool that you have, you know, I think moms and daughters, fathers and daughters, fathers and sons, everybody, you have to have a way to kind of like share something of yourself with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so like for you guys, it seems like that's wrestling and that's a great thing. And I think that's kind of piece of advice I have for dads would be like, share some of your passions with your kids, but don't force it on them.
100%. I mean, the one sport that my boys don't play is what I had a scholarship for baseball. Their mom pitched at University of Arizona, and none of them like baseball at all. And it bugs me, but I will never push it on them. Like we tried, but it's football, soccer. I mean, they did parkour for crying out loud.
Yeah.
they've done a whole bunch of different things, but they just could not get into baseball. And while it tugs at me, I'm never gonna force it on them.
We try to do everything with our son, like get involved in everything, and mm-hmm. then, you know, and then he finds successes and failures, you know, and I may reward him a little extra harder for doing well in baseball or working hard in baseball just to kind of help, but you can't push it. And I know a lot of parents do, mm-hmm. and the kids just, they hate it. They push back, they hate it, and then they quit.
Yeah, they get burnt out. Yep.
Ollie, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was. Don't give up. So same thing. I love baseball and it's always on. Every summer we're watching baseball. It's on in the background on the weekends. It's just on. And my oldest son, he fell in love with football, and he loves playing fantasy football. He knows stats on stats on stats.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had no interest in baseball. He'd watch some, but he wouldn't follow anything or whatever. And a couple years ago, we were driving out to Magic Mountain, and I was listening to a baseball game, and he started looking up the different teams. And he said, I'm going to be an Orioles fan. I said, why? He says, because they're black and orange. Oh, okay. Whatever. There's worse reasons to pick a team. And they were awful. They were last place team that year. And I was like, cool. But he wasn't really a fan. He'd ask me, how are the Orioles doing? I'd tell him how they're doing or whatever. And then this past season, a bunch of us insiders started playing some fantasy baseball, and we needed at least one more. And so I talked him into doing it. I said, look, it's stats, it's fantasy, you'll learn a lot. And the kid turned into a baseball obsessive overnight.
Really? So,
overnight. He knows more than I've ever known about baseball. And so there's hope. It could just be a switch that flips one day, or, you know, they may never like baseball, but it could happen.
I think it's a good idea to have it on. It's like, quote unquote, background noise while we're doing other things. I feel like that's how I got them originally not with football. They've always been like football, but with, like I said, WWE, we flipped it on because we were inside. Or my youngest and my middle one are like basketball. Like, okay, let's watch this. This is fast paced. But I've always said baseball is the thinking man's game. I mean, I pitched and I played third base. I've taken them to a billion games. It's like by the third inning, they're like, can we go? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's hard. Baseball is a slower game. Mm-hmm. It's more of a chess match at times. We're talking about matchups. We're talking about what to do in this situation. Do you bunt? Do you swing away? You know, my son is like, Dad, it's not a quiz. I get into like that, like mental part of the game with him all the time.
So he's good.
Like, Dad, it's not a quiz. Like it's not school, Dad. I'm like, okay, you're right. But I think live baseball is so much better than TV. And I kind of have like a little plan that we do, because we were going to Fenway Park all the time when he was little. And it's mm-hmm. hard for a little kid at any age to sit there because the game is slow. It's a lot faster now with the pitch clock. But we'd sit for two innings and then we'd go get a hot dog and come back. And he'd, you know, have a hot dog. And then we'd sit for two innings and then we would get up and go get a pretzel. And then come back, sit for two innings, and then go get ice cream and a helmet. You know, we had little trips.
That's a good time.
You know, and then, yeah. And then he's like, this is great. I get a hot dog. And now it's really cute. He's always like, every game, hot dog and Cracker Jack. He has to have it at the ballpark.
That's awesome.
I don't even know that he likes Cracker Jack, but he just feels like he has to have it. So,
it's required.
We could talk about our kids and fatherhood, but I just want to salute to you gentlemen. I have a nice little glass of bourbon here. I'm going to raise a toast to some great fathers. And thank you for sharing some advice with our listeners. And we're going to move on to the next part of the show.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
So also building off being dad, your boys are very well dressed, as are you, wearing Roosevelts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, George, how did you get into the brand Roosevelt? Because it is, everybody has a different origin story, so I want to hear yours.
I do, and I'm like, pinpointing a date is hard for me to do. I just remember, I want to say,
I mean, once upon a time is good.
Once upon a time, when I first saw Hambino, that's when I grabbed it. I want to say it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. I remember seeing it in an ad. I go, yeah, I want that shirt. And then I remember getting Wild Thing shortly after that on a clearance price. And honestly, like, wasn't really following the brand or anything, or didn't really dive into it too deep. And then I just remember, I think it was 2019, I started seeing more and more of it and started buying more, and it became an obsession and stayed an obsession. And then honestly, I've started, I mean, I was an XL. I've fluctuated in weight so much. I've had everything from 2XL to XL to large, and now I'm a medium. But it's rebuying and reselling. It's part of the game too, to enjoy the shirts. And honestly, like what we're doing now, like I love the camaraderie the group has. With any negativity, like I just silence it or move on. But yeah, that the first shirt was 100% Hambino, and I don't know if I have one now in medium. I want one. Desperately want one. But no, I had to be 17, maybe 16. I don't remember the exact year, but it was definitely Hambino was the first shirt.
Now, you're awesome. You're known for, you know, obviously wearing great shirts, but inside the group, you're also known as being an extremely generous insider. And some of us have been lucky enough to get a George care package, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Porto package. A Porto package, which I got mine last year? I can't remember. And it had had some great stuff in it. A nice bottle of whiskey was in it. And I didn't ask for it. You just hit me up, and then next thing I know, it shows up, and it's just this goodie bag of awesome stuff. What inspired you? What was the first care package you sent out, and why?
You know, I'd have to think hard on that one. It might have been to Ricky or Tony, if I'm being honest, if I'm thinking about it. I feel like once I joined Insiders, I feel like a lot of people like reached out and welcomed me, and I'm like, God, this was such a great intro and a way to meet people. And honestly, I feel like I opened up to all, even, you know, internet strangers. That's what we are. But it's always been positive experiences. So I think I sent one to, it might have been Tony Cooley or Ricky McCann, and it turned into, you know what? Honestly, like the older I've gotten, it's so much better to give than receive. I know it's very cliche, but I see it with my kids. I see it with the group. I would rather, if I see someone doing something good in the group, or I saw something, it's like, you know, well, send them something. Why not? Like, I feel like people have done it to me in the past, whether it be with Roosevelt's or anything else. Like I said, the older you get, the giving is way, way, way better than receiving. And I would rather see someone else smile than, I don't want to say me myself, but like, I think bringing someone joy unexpectedly is one of the greatest, coolest things ever. I don't need to be thanked for it. It's like one of those things. It's like, yeah, you did something cool. I want to reward you. And I think that goes a long way, and it usually does come back to you in some way, shape, or form.
Karma. Good, yeah. Karma.
I mean, I've given people just a couple, and I mean, there's just random times where, I mean, I've had people from, you know, HQ send me stuff or other people, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to regift it anyways. It goes a long way. And like I said, I feel like it makes me feel better. You know, if someone's like looking for something, like, hey, I have it, just take it.
Right.
Just take.
We talked a lot. You.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, James.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, in my care package, I did get a Four Roses zip-up hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
It is two sizes too big for me, and I don't care. It is the only hoodie I wear. It's Four Roses. I love Four Roses, but it's the most comfortable free sweatshirt I've ever had in my entire life.
What are you, a large or medium now?
I am a large now. I started out as an XL. I think the hoodie's a 2X, but you know what? Hoodies are allowed to be big.
I agree. I might have an extra large, or not an extra large, but another large or medium laying around somewhere. They're my favorite brand to represent. I mean, I represent a lot of brands with the distributor I'm with, but I'm going there to Four Roses on Thursday, courtesy of Four Roses, to pick out a barrel with one of my accounts. So
that is awesome.
Well, I mean, it's super fun, and it's going to be a short trip, which is fine. But again, you know, they take care of me, and I sell as much as I can to, you know, make them look good too. So they're awesome people. Like I said, I love the industry. Honestly, I've told people this a million times. The longer I've been in the alcohol industry, the less I drink too. It's the funny part. But no, it's, I want to say maybe it was Jason Hepler that coined it, a Porto package or PCP. And I was like, oh, that sounds so horrible, but let's stick with it.
But well, you know, go ahead.
But I like I said, I enjoyed doing it.
Going back to last week's episode with Tony and Gates, I think it was Tony who was saying this. It just mirrors Stephen Gebhardt's personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, HQ does so much. They love to surprise people. They love to send free stuff to people. And it just kind of snowballs from there. And so, you know, you've got the Porto package in our group. You've got Brian Spooky Kluka's packages that he likes to send.
Oh, I've
people.
Got one.
His package.
He loves his package. Spooky loves his package. But there's so much goodwill in the group. And I have been involved in many things under the table, secret stuff. I've been involved in helping people get shirts. I've been gifted shirts. I've been gifted other things. My kid, for Christ's sake, has received so much stuff from people. And so it's,
I told just, you, I want to be your kid.
You know, he got a package. Somebody in the group sent him autographed baseball cards. And I don't mean like, oh, you know, Dick Fuck Choi or somebody. I'm talking like,
I love him.
Right. He got Ronald Acuna.
Stop it. Really?
Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, my
like,
God.
And this is, you know, Joe Crotella. Like, are you kidding me, Joe? Like,
yeah, I love Joe.
Blew his mind. Rob Richardson sent him Griffey cards. Thomas Elswick has sent him stuff. Like, everybody just, like, sends this kid stuff all the time. And, oh, my God, he loves it. Aaron Williams has sent him hats and cards. It's just, it makes, like, him feel so good. And I'm like, yeah, there's strangers on the internet sending you stuff. Okay, maybe like my wife's like, what's going on? But such a great community. And I'm happy to be part of it. And the Porto package is legendary. Not Porto's package, but the Porto package.
You'd have to ask Mrs. Porto about that.
We'll talk to the ladies in the Chicago area about that. But George, what is last Roosevelt's question? If you had one dream license or one dream shirt that Roosevelt would make, what would it be?
Oh, God. There's probably two, honestly. I jokingly say, and I've put it on the suggestion thread a couple times, like, give me a bunch of, like, 80s or 90s one-hit wonders and put it on a shirt and see how many we sell. But honestly, I when I saw Harper's Hearts and... Tatiana's daughter too.
Lennon. Yeah.
Lennon. I'm like, yeah, I threw that out there. I would love for my kids to design something and to do something and submit it and have that become a shirt that all three of my kids. That would be the coolest thing. I think I put up a post about it some time ago too. It was like, yes, they're wearing them. Are they wearing them as much? No. Do I want them wearing them more? Absolutely. But they're getting to that point like, Dad, it's not cool. Well, what if we had your own shirt made? Well, then it would be cool. Well, let me work on it. I'm super pumped about your shirt, Ollie. Like that to me, I'm waiting for that. That one is amazing. That one I will sport like twice a week. I'm all about the non-licensed. I used to be about the, but all about like non-licensed. Like I'm not a big Disney guy. Never have been. But I like seeing artists work or something like you said, that's non-licensed. I think it shines more and it's honestly a little more appropriate for my industry and easier to wear and get away with wearing. But no, I think I do love the idea of having kids do more shirts. I think we would do well with it, especially now with us, with Roosevelt's growing and having such an expansive Disney crowd now with all the licenses. So, I think it would be a cool idea to have more kids do shirts in general.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I think that like Harper's Heart idea, and I know it was just a decoration she did on the back of the envelope or something. I think it wasn't intended, but what a cool thing. Also, shout out to Manuel Valle, who had shoulder surgery today.
Wow.
So hope he's doing good. Torn labrum, arthritis. So he had like a 70-year-old man's shoulder. It said so.
Jeez.
Shout out to Whoa. Him and his wife, who's taking care of him. She's probably doing the hard lifting right now. And Lennon shirt too was also amazing. And then I also, you know, George, I heard you say, you know, original designs are your thing. So makes me think you're really waiting for that Thanksgiving tiki that I think Ian is maybe working on. I'm just going to keep talking about that shirt.
You know, we'll have him on here again and we'll push.
I'm going to will that shirt. I'm going to speak it into existence. I'm just going to keep speaking it into existence. Well, that's awesome. I think everybody would agree. We would love some more kid design shirts. That would be, I don't know how they could do it, whether they did a contest or just a kid's line every year.
You know,
kids submit stuff.
What if we had kids designing kid shirts?
Right. That's like, not a bad idea at all.
Not that the, you know, you can't have, you know, the grown-ups wear them, but like have a kid design a shirt that a kid would wear for the other kids.
Now, George, you worked in education. You know that you have to be very careful with children's artwork because they try to draw one thing and they draw something else they don't intend to.
It looks like a body part. Yes.
That makes it so much better. It'll be Roosevelt's After Dark.
That's an elephant. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
All right, we're gonna shift some gears here because of time. We could talk more about shirts, but we're gonna get into the booze now. So, George, you've already kind of let it slip that you went from the education industry, and now you're working in the booze industry. You talked about repping Four Roses, so like people want to know, man, what is it you do here?
I'll give you the slow story. I actually. And this is where I hit it off with DTH. At the same time, we both ran a couple breweries. I worked in beer for 6-7 years, ran a couple local ones here. Honestly, beer is awesome. It is. But the one thing it doesn't do is pay bills. And it takes up so much of your time. It's you're wearing 12 hats at once. So I had met someone that actually worked for one of the breweries I was with. And he's like, dude, come over to us. We're getting big. We're known as Heritage, but we are being acquired by RNDC, which is the second biggest liquor distribution company in the U.S. And that's what's happened. I mean, I jumped ship. I've quickly become our number one rep, and I don't plan on leaving because the benefits are stupid. We're all local and union guys too. I mean, I pay $60 a month for insurance for everybody, which is insane. I love what I do. Liquor is recession proof. It's just a conversation. Usually every brand, whether it's a vodka, a tequila, a bourbon, they all have stories. I mean, I represent countless brands. Actually, we just picked up Macallan. Like, we took that away from Breakthrough, which used to be out here. Yeah. Yeah, so now we have the best scotch in the world.
Indeed.
So it's competitive. It's fun. It tells a story, but it's not pressure sales. It's you're out of this. Let's talk about it. Or this is new to the market. Let's talk about this. And I know I mentioned to you guys too, like a celebrity brand is just launched with us. And I've been tasked with getting this celebrity out to certain accounts in the next coming weeks. And while it's a little frustrating and I'm trying to make a trip to Four Roses on Thursday, I'm pumped for it. I'll be getting to hang out with him for 2 days. I don't know if I should spill the name or should we tease people? You tell me.
We could at least say it's a superhero, right?
So is this
superhero.
Before we leak anything, is this a public knowledge thing already? I don't want you to get in any trouble. Because, you know, we have a lot of celebrities that listen to our show. Tom Cruise, Guy Fieri, Ryan Reynolds. The list just goes on. And so I just don't want you to get in trouble if it's not public knowledge.
I'm not going to say the name, but yes, it is a superhero. I don't know if does he have a Roosevelt shirt? I don't think so, right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he's appeared on one.
I was trying to look that up earlier, but I couldn't find it. I was like,
which we're dropping some good clues here. He superhero, not on a Roosevelt shirt. So start getting your diagrams out, people.
Yeah.
Putting your wall together like Charlie Day in the mailroom.
How many hints can we give that aren't like obvious hints? Like, we could drop some ones that are obvious, but we got to be really, really opaque here.
It's not Christopher Reeve, people. I'm gonna cross that name off your list.
Or Ezra Miller. It's not Ezra Miller.
All right. So George, you get to dabble in the spirits, and you just said you don't drink as much now because you're kind of around it all the time. But like, what would be your go-to beverage?
I will admit, I am drinking bourbon right now. I needed it after a long day today. But a neat pour of a high-proof cask strength bourbon has become my go-to. It has been the last couple of years, but when I was in craft beer, that's all I was drinking. And honestly, I'm so fatigued from it, I could barely get a beer down anymore. But it's usually a dram or two of some high-proof bourbon. I mean, right now I'm drinking a Peerless pick from Kentucky when I was down there last month. It's called Kentucky Cake. It's a rye pick at 110 proof, and it literally tastes like cake at the end. It's ridiculous. Nice.
Interesting.
So I'm drinking something that's unique as well out of Kentucky. It's Maker's Mark.
I love Maker's. I love the picks. Yeah.
I got this at the distillery a couple years ago when I visited. Have you been to the Maker's Mark distillery?
I have not. But I've tasted plenty of their picks, and I'm a big fan of their picks.
So it's fun. You can go get a Maker's Mark like slushy while you're there, which is unique, which is kind of fun. I have a cask strength panna cotta bourbon from them.
Go on.
It is smooth, but it has that nice panna cotta Italian dessert aftertaste, and it is just delightful.
Intriguing.
There's so many out there like that.
And I got to dip this bottle myself in the wax.
That's what makes the trip.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest. I live in a part of the country where I can get a bottle of Buffalo Trace for $22 at my nearest grocery store. So that's usually my go-to just because you can't buy a better whiskey for $22 freaking. About 3 years ago, my father-in-law and I started distilling our own. Mm-hmm. He wanted to start making a moonshine or whatever, which is fine. We did 100% corn the first time around. Actually, I take that back. We did a potato vodka the first time, which was interesting. The recipe called for tomato paste to add enzymes to it, which was real interesting. And I know it's not in there, but I could taste it. So my father-in-law found this recipe that it supposedly was George Washington's rye recipe. I'm not buying it, but anyway, it is the best brown liquid I have ever had in my mouth.
Really?
I've had tons of whiskeys, tons. I went through a Scotch phase. I went through a Canadian whiskey, which has interesting. There's been some pretty cool small batches out of Canada lately.
Canada.
It's the maple leaf state. It had in this 5 gallon, essentially finished. So it was about, I don't know, 35 gallons to start with. There was 18 pounds of brown sugar that went into this thing. So it's a rye. So it had to be at least 51% rye. It was about 64% rye. So it's a little bit spicy. I am going to save a bottle just for you, George.
I appreciate it. That sounds amazing.
So it was barrel aged. We did we did 2 gallon barrels. We aged it for a year. We're going to try a 5 gallon barrel here soon. So I'll let you know how that turns out. But, yeah, man, that is so much more work than brewing beer.
I mean, I used to dabble with both and making it. And I'm like, why? When I can just walk to the store for something that's going to turn out better. But I get it. The experience, I did it with beer. And I mean, whiskey is, it's tough. It's tough. Patience and time are the key.
Indeed.
So George, I got a question for you, and I think you are more than qualified to answer.
I'll try.
I have been around the world. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, you name it, I've probably been there.
Ho.
Before I was addicted to Roosevelt, all my money went into traveling. Now I can't afford to travel because I buy Roosevelt. But I recently was down in South Carolina at the South Carolina meetup, the Carolina Wine Mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a beverage that I believe hails from the Chicago area.
Is it Malort?
Yes, sir. And I, my question is, why?
I don't know if you guys have ever seen there's like a commercial, and it's like one of the founders. It's the founder's son, and it's him just constantly taking shots of it and sweating and throwing up during the whole commercial. It's the greatest, funniest thing ever. He's like, Malort, and it just comes up towards the end, and they know it's gross. They do know. It's just a Chicago thing. Honestly, it's more city focused. I wish that brand came to us, but it's like the Chicago handshake. It's an old style and a Malort. It's just, you know, two old kind of curmudgy things that, sure. But actually, Jepson's, the company, their bourbon is pretty darn good. I'm in a bourbon group out here, and we just picked a barrel. They actually picked, this is the first barrel that they're doing, and they picked it over five of my distilleries. I couldn't get any of the big boys, but they're getting stuff from Dickel. They're getting stuff from, they're buying barrels from all over the place, and their bourbon is actually really, really, really good. Malort, I've got to be in the mood. And
what's the mood? Like, you just like,
bringing in someone from out of town and having them try it, and then have them try it first, and then I'll just drink it real slowly. That's the mood.
I feel like Malort is the sound the body makes as it vomits.
Right? So like, shout out to Brandon Osborne, because I think he's the guy that brought the bottles down for us all. And it was an experience. I mean, everybody was talking about it all weekend long, you know.
Good. You'd be surprised the amount of people from Chicago that actually like it, and that's what they drink almost every day. And I'm like, it's gross.
And Chad Roth was rallying everybody to it. I had to Google it, what's Malort? And then all these slogans came up: Malort, kick your mouth in the balls. Malort, for when you want to unfriend somebody in person. Malort, tonight's the night you fight your dad. it just goes on and on and on. And it's just like, you know, is it something that I'm ever going to have again? Probably not if I can avoid it. Am I glad that I got to experience it? I mean, we're here, we are talking about it. But
oh my gosh. I'll send you the video. Like I said, there's a video on YouTube. It's like three minutes long. And it's, I think he's a part of the Jepson family. And it's him just trying to promote it at first. And by the time he gets like the fifth and sixth shot, he's throwing up and sweating. It's more funny and more of a gag on his own actual product than anything. I every time I watch it, I die laughing.
Yeah, I definitely send that, and we'll post it on our page, because that'll be awesome. We could talk booze all night, but we are going to shift in now to our five questions. George, you've been great. So please hang out with us a little bit longer.
Sure.
You know the first question, George, if you've listened to our podcast. You're from Chicago, home of mm-hmm. You've already said you like deep dish, you like thin crust, so you seem like you're an eclectic pizza guy. Where do you stand on pineapple on pizza?
No.
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 You gotta tell us a little more.
I dabbled. If it's done as
dabbled like it was a phase in college.
In college, George.
But I've gotten it from different pizza places and said, all right, I wonder if it tastes better here on a pizza or it tastes better here on a pizza. The answer is no. But if it's done as like a taco pizza and pineapples on there too, along with other taco accoutrements. Okay, it's not bad now. It's different. It's interesting. I mean, we have one of the best burger places in the country out here, Kuma's, and they put the craziest thing on burgers you wouldn't expect from. I mean, I did a burger with caramel, potato chips, marshmallow, and gravy, and it sounds awful. It is the greatest burger I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Get creative.
Salty, savory, sweet.
Yep. Get creative with it, which I've had on pineapple on pizza once it got creative. And I go, okay, different. Throw it in with barbacoa or something unique to make it what it would normally not go with. And hey, different story, but by itself, not a chance.
So I don't think anyone's come on here and defended pineapple by itself on a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's pineapple with something else.
So George, what would you do if your 12-year-old, soon to be 12-year-old boy comes home and just says, "Dad, I hate baseball and I love Hawaiian pizza." Are you kicking him out of the house? Do you still have a bed? Like what's happening?
No son of mine's eating pineapple pizza.
Hey, he's gonna get a job and pay for his own.
Wow.
I respect that.
I get him a small, and I would probably try to dabble again myself, but I'm like, what did I raise?
Well, you know, I'm going to shout. Yeah, everybody's entitled to an opinion. You said no, but it does sound like you've dabbled. You experimented, and, you know, it's not everything's for everybody. So we're gonna respect your stance there. All right. Question number two is pretty simple. You're at the store. It's late night. You're jonesing for a crunchy snack. You're in the chip aisle. What bag are you grabbing?
Oh, so I'm gonna elaborate a little more on it too. So I love Doritos, and I want the listeners, or if anyone's ever tried this before, Doritos and peanut butter in a sandwich. Toast the bread. I'll give a quick story on this too, because like I ate this all the time as a kid.
George is a 9-year-old. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, is just regular nacho cheese Doritos. I ate it all the time as a kid. Put it one day on peanut butter, toasted some wheat and or white toast. It's unbelievably good. I remember my high school crush, and, you know, I was never going up to her, never said anything. And then just one day, she's at the table. And guess what she's eating, boys? A peanut butter and Dorito sandwich. And I go, I knew we were meant for each other. Wow. And that didn't happen. But I mean, and the story happened, but no, we were not meant for each other. But I was like, I couldn't believe the only person in the world that ever knew that ate this was a crush. But yes, Doritos, nacho cheese, 100%.
All right. How about you, Ollie? What's your go-to bag of chips?
So I get it every time, and I'm always slightly disappointed because it's not what I want it to be. I don't know if you guys remember, but circa 2002 to 2007-ish, Tostitos had lime and chili flavored corn chips, and they disappeared.
They came back with corn chips, really? Okay.
Yeah, and they came back with hint of lime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar, but it doesn't have that spicy kick.
Yep.
But so I will pick that up, and then I'll go. I won't buy the salsas that are in the chip aisle because they're, you know, usually like, you know.
That's garbage.
Yeah, it's trash. It's trash. Yeah. And then
New York City.
And then I will go. So I live in the Southwest, and there is a salsa that you can only get down here. It's called Desert Rose. And oddly enough, they sell it at Costco out here sometimes. And I don't know how to explain it. It's sweet. It's spicy. It's smoky. It was the first salsa I ever had that actually had slices of jalapeno in it. And it kind of brings back that flavor for me. But if I'm being honest, I don't get a whole lot of junk food anymore.
No, right.
It's kind of sad.
For me, it's pretty simple. Like I do love chips. I love just tortilla chips with good salsas. I love, you know, Cheetos. I love Doritos. But realistically, like if I'm going to sit down or watch a football game or watch a baseball game, just a bag of Ruffles with some like really good ranch dip.
Oh, yeah.
Like that for me, I maybe just take some sour cream and mix the ranch packet with it and I'm good. That combo. All right, moving on. So, George, you're a man of the arts. You like movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is... I feel like most people that like movies have, like, just one moment in a theater that was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Any time of your life, what is that one best moment you ever had in a movie theater? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean getting lucky in the back row.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth.
Damn.
movie theater, wow. My favorite movie of all time is Goodfellas. I mean, I'm Italian, but I don't saw that. I don't think I saw that in the theater. Honestly, the movie that, like, I remember just saying, "Oh, this was 300," and that final scene where all the arrows are coming at him.
Oh yeah,
I know he's gonna die, and I'm like, "Yes, perfect way to end a movie." I stood up and clapped, and was the only person doing it. I didn't care.
That's awesome. Ollie, do you have a memorable moment in the theater?
Ah, oh, geez. Gosh, it would have to be seeing. Okay, I'm going to tie this to kind of not really a sad story. I've been stood up on a date once in my life, and it was opening night for Titanic, and it was the girl I liked. We agreed we were going to meet. This was before cell phones, right? So. She didn't show up. The movie's starting or whatever. I have my two tickets. I give a ticket away to somebody who's in line. I'm like, "Hey, you going to see that movie? Here, take my ticket." And then, so I went and watched that movie by myself. And it was so good. And it was so engrossing that I forgot I was there alone. And I got to the end and I was surrounded by a bunch of like 12-year-old girls who were like screaming about Leonardo DiCaprio. But I actually went on a date the following week with a different girl and to see that movie again. And I was still blown away. I don't mind saying it. I love Titanic. It's a beautiful movie. The love story is great. I don't care. It's fantastic.
I will admit all right. Of all my James Cameron films. Yes. I will take that over Avatar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That movie. Yeah. So overrated. James.
Mine is, it's pretty simple. And I think I screamed, "Holy shit," when it happened. And I was next to my son, who was at the time maybe 4 or 5. So not appropriate at my parts. But the moment was Rogue One, Darth Vader's hallway scene in the end.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up a big Star Wars fan. Darth Vader was like the most badass character. I love all the Italian. I'm Italian. I love The Godfather. I love all these movies. But, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't get to see them in the theater, and I didn't see the original Star Wars in the theaters. I saw all the special editions and the remakes, but, you know, it had taken the luster away. But just that hallway scene where, like, it's dark, and then his lights, you hear the breathing, then the lightsaber turns on, and then he just cuts everybody to pieces. Because that is what we were starving for in the prequel movies. We just wanted to see a badass Vader, right?
Yes.
We just wanted to see a badass Vader, not a crying, sniveling little bitch. Well, and we didn't get that. And so this was kind of like, I felt like 20 years overdue. And so, you know, thank you, Disney, for giving me that.
We talked about that scene in our Lost episode. Nobody knows this, but we had actually recorded a pretty epic May the 4th episode. And due to some technical issues, about 60% of that audio was lost.
No.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know, maybe one day, James, we'll do a tribute episode and maybe have all those special guests back on. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we got to try to redo that, and we could do it sooner than later, because it was a great episode. It was a fun time too.
It was a good time, but we did specifically talk about that movie and that scene. So you guys got a little bit of taste of what actually would have been episode 25, but now it's going to be the lost episode that maybe we'll bring back and redo one day.
All right, George, do you play golf, sir?
Oh, gosh. I'm a fan of the sport. My patience was baseball. So the answer is no. But I watch it.
What about miniature golf?
I do.
All right. So if you got to play miniature golf and pick a foursome of anybody living or not living from history, who would be in your foursome? So it's you and three other people.
They don't have to be golfers, or they do have to be golfers?
No, they don't have to. It can be anybody.
Oh, gosh.
Playing a round of mini golf or regular golf.
Oh, man. This year, let's think about this. Michael Jordan for one. Who else? I don't necessarily want an athlete here. Let's go with Michael Jordan, Robert De Niro, and Tom Brady.
Fuck you, Tom.
that roast was amazing too, by the way.
Right, that's why I said it. Yeah, an amazing roast. I didn't know are you a Patriots fan?
I'm a Tom Brady fan. I'm a Michigan fan.
Okay. And so Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, and Robert De Niro. And George Porto. What a foursome.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be cigars. There's going to be booze. There's going to be avocado ice cream because Tom doesn't drink and do the other shit. But
And there'll be a guy gambling that won't pay up on his debts.
And you're going to get a rub down from Alex Guerrero before and afterwards. What a treat. Oh, that's going to be fun. Okay, Ollie, who's in your foursome?
So I have to pick someone who is better at me than golf and then two people who are worse than me at golf, which is going to be hard to find. I want to golf with Adam Sandler. I want to golf with Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Good call.
And let's see. Oh, man. Shoot. Someone that I imagine Mike Tyson is terrible at golf.
You're going to get your ass beat.
Lettuce Lewis is a terrible human being. I'm going to eat his kids.
Why do you think Mike Tyson sounds like Mickey Mouse?
I've heard him talk. Oh, gee, everybody.
Let's see. I need one more.
So it's you, it's Mike Tyson, and Happy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
Or Adam Sandler.
Marissa Tomei.
Okay. Why Marissa Tomei?
Because I want to drink with her on a golf course. Like childhood crush. No, nothing funny. No hanky panky. But she looks like she's a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. I dig it.
She ages well too. My gosh. Oh my,
yeah. Yeah. She keeps getting better. So, yeah. So there you go. What I got, Adam Sandler, Mike Tyson, and Marissa Tomei.
Wow.
Ball game. You got, what do you got?
So I'm going to golf with Ken Griffey Jr. That's just like my childhood, idol and, man crush forever. I'm going to have Vince Vaughn out there. I like his movies, and he just seems to ramble and just talk bullshit nonsense. And then there's another actor that, I've met before, and he's a very much a lesser known actor, but Bobby Cannavale.
Love him.
He is fucking fantastic.
Love him.
So nice in person.
Is he?
Yeah. Super nice. Well, he was to me. I would golf with them.
That's awesome.
I think that'd be fun.
The short story real quick too. I sat next to Vince Vaughn. He's obviously from Chicago. I was lucky enough to sit next to him in a booth up at Wrigley, and his girlfriend at the time, I don't know if they're married now, ran into my significant other in the bathroom at like the same time, and I just moved the seat over and just started a conversation for 5 minutes until they came back. I was like, great to meet you.
Nice. And he said something to you?
He said, I like your Oakley, your Chicago Cubs Oakleys. And I go, yeah, nice. You won't see those on me again because they were hideous.
I got to meet a Chicago celebrity when I was very, very young in an elevator. And we were going to a banquet, and I was with my father, and he was wearing a tuxedo. And we got in the elevator, and we went up a floor, and none other than Bill Murray.
Nice.
Got on. And he kind of looked at me, and I wasn't very old, but I knew him as Peter Venkman.
Sure.
And I was like, obviously I had a very visceral reaction to being in an elevator with Peter Venkman. And he kind of put his hand on my shoulder and goes, "There, there, son." You know, he looked at my dad, looked at my dad in his tux, and he goes, "I really enjoy your music. Thank you." And then he goes, like, you know, the piano player wears the tuxedo.
Did he put a 5 spot in his pocket?
Front pocket. Yeah, yeah.
God, I wish I would have taken that 5, but he was obviously joking about that. But that was a fun memory. I love Bill Murray. Maybe he should have been in my golf foursome. Okay, George, we're to the last question. We're almost done. We almost made it to the finish line. Though we could go all night, but we can't. George, let's say a woman is going to take you on your dream date. So you're not planning the date for the woman. They're planning the date for you. What would be your dream date scenario?
Oh, God. That's a thinker.
Ladies, take notes.
I'm not a big fan of extreme hot weather. I've been there. I've traveled a lot too myself. Honestly, I don't know. Like, so take me to a log cabin up in UP, and let's just take me in the winter. Let's snuggle up together, drink some bourbon. You drink your red wine, and we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, I like that. That's very. That is not what I was expecting out of you, but like...
George, the answer is yes.
He's on Airbnb right now, booking a log cabin.
How do you spell peninsula? Hold on.
I'm in.
Yeah, and you have to tell our listeners what UP is. Not everybody's familiar with that in Chicago.
Yeah, it's the Upper Peninsula. I mean, I don't mind cold. I don't mind being somewhere cold. And honestly, I'm sick of going to hot places. I sweat too easily.
Oh, you're never coming to see me.
Oh, but that's a dry heat. Yeah, that's a bullshit term, right? Like, oh, it's okay. 125, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah, so is a fucking oven, okay?
Right.
Hot's hot.
Hot is hot.
All right, Ollie. Bonnie's planning a date for you. What is your dream date?
Oh, so we're gonna grab a steak. We're gonna get Hooters hot wings.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're gonna go see a Padre game at Petco Park. And the Padres are gonna win. They're gonna beat the Dodgers 13-0.
Wow.
And yeah, it's going to be a route. And then we're going to take a walk on the beach. And then we're going to go back to a little Airbnb and do married stuff.
Like taxes?
And knit?
Yeah, we're going to do taxes. That's what George and I are going to do in the UP. We're going to get together and drink and snuggle and do taxes.
Well, that's adult. That's what adults do, right?
So that's what I got from it.
Well, that also sounds like a wonderful, wonderful date.
Oh, yeah. Ball game?
I think a great day would be I wake up and my wife has bags packed. And she's like, "We're going." And I just, "Okay, we're going." And we get on an airplane. And we go to a random city that I haven't been to. And we go to a random restaurant and try something unique to that area, you know, that I either haven't had a lot of or never had. Just no Malort, please. And then we explore the city. We have like an activity that we do together, like whether it's axe throwing or zip lining or some kind of activity that we share together, and then followed by like a nice early dinner, and then maybe go to like either it's a baseball game or a sporting event, or even like I'm a big fan, people don't know this about me, but I like going to musicals.
Yeah,
I love musicals. I mean, I tend to like you know some stuff that's a little more edgy, not like classic opera or anything, but I definitely love musicals. I could just see a sporting event or a movie or a musical, and then going back to like a hotel, having a drink, getting some room service, and then probably, you know, doing our taxes. Like those adult things that we have to pay some bills online, right?
Are you gonna do taxes like 2-3 times?
I'm getting old, but I sure as hell will try.
maybe taxes, like a lot of taxes, and then maybe just a little bit more taxes the next morning.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then room service the next morning.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I definitely like surprises, and I definitely like activities that we can do together.
Love
so,
it.
So, yeah, well, gentlemen, this has been another fun episode. George, finally, just great to get to talk to you one-on-one. We've never met in person, but it didn't feel like we were talking to a stranger tonight.
Not at all.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And as always, thank you for the Porto packages that you do for the whole community. That's such an awesome thing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for coming along with us on this ride. He's Ollie, I'm Ballgame, and you've been listening to George Porto on See Nobody Cares. Have a great week.